The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver. Arm yourself for office conversation in the afternoon with Peter Boyles in the morning on News Talk 710, KNUS.
Don't know why you want to. Good morning. It's Thursday, October 29, 2020. Good old 710, KNUS. 5 days to go. And tomorrow will be our pre-Halloween show. We got some good guests on tomorrow. 61 will be the high, and Halloween 57. 710 KNUS Denver's talk station. Good morning, everyone, on a Thursday. And yet to come this morning on the radio show, Greg Moore's on the show, former publisher of the Denver Post. Randy's on the show, Randy Corpin. Joy Overbeck's on the show. And we really like this young man. Please say good morning. Welcome back. He lives in Fort Collins. Eric Rush joins us. Hey, Eric, good morning, man. Thanks for coming on the radio show again. And Billy just told me we're going to be speaking to you right after Election Day. So good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me on. My pleasure.
Yeah. Do a quick bio so people know who you are. We're going to use you a lot. So if you would, please.
Oh, certainly. Well, I'm a regular columnist for WorldNet Daily. That's WND.com. And in February of 2007, I broke the Reverend Wright story. That's President Obama's radical pastor on the Hannity and Combs television show on Fox.
I remember that, and I remember that began a lot of investigations into the life and times of Barack Obama, and that's the first time I think I saw your name. Go ahead if you want to make a comment, please.
Oh, no. Well, that was the first time a lot of people had heard my name. And actually, yeah, it did wind up resulting in a lot of investigation. It was actually one of the more bothersome aspects or bothersome hurdles Obama had to leap, I guess, on his way to the nomination.
Let me jump to the 64,000. Does Donald Trump get the second term?
I think he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he does. My piece for WorldNet Daily this week, which came out Wednesday evening, and it sort of examined that the question of how we sort of gauge the temperament of the electorate, because right now, you know, most of us have determined that, you know, we can't rely on the polls because so many of them are biased. And, you know, there's so many Trump supporters that it seems as though they're not, you know, they may be passionate, but they're not overtly so, you know, because they don't want to get beat up or have their car vandalized or something like that. And but that there are a whole lot of people out there who remain Trump supporters, a lot of people who've switched to be Trump supporters. And, you know, the reasons that they had for voting for Donald Trump in 2016, I think, are exponentially more valid in 2020.
It's interesting. Colorado, you know, the backyard, is not a battleground state. I love reading the political theorist, and one of the theories that I've come across, and it's interesting reading the numbers again last night, Georgia. Have you heard this theory, read this theory, Eric, that in three different people that I've read who don't have a political dog in the fight, they're sort of watching this as academicians, that if Georgia goes blue that night, go to bed. If Georgia stays red, Donald Trump does have the Electoral College pathway. Have you seen any of that?
I heard something about that. I believe it was yesterday. And I think that there's some merit to its significance, but I don't know that I would put I would put that much stock in it, because, you know, things are so strange that we don't know what's going to happen.
No,
we
agree.
Don't know what's going to happen. I mean, last in my column for this week, I referred to you know, we could see a Trump landslide, quote, of biblical proportions, end quote. And I personally suspect that that's what's going to happen. But, you know, really none of us knows.
I would be the happiest man alive. I was looking at an electoral college and electoral maps, and we need, of course, everyone knows we need 270 to win. And I remember that four years ago when all the Bush supporters were in shock that Donald Trump was going to do that. And I'm reading people right now who believe that Joe Biden, he has California, they have Oregon, they have Washington. They said they have New York State. And there's plenty of, in play, Texas allegedly in play, Florida in play. But I like what you're saying. You know, it is there, and can it happen? Man.
I think there are far more Trump voters under the radar than the polls and the press and everybody are evaluating at this point. And I think, you have to look at, to some extent, the anecdotal evidence, because in many ways that can be more indicative of the indicative than the polls. Like, we look at these, standing room only Trump rallies, and then we see these Biden rallies, and there's tumbleweeds rolling around. I can't really put that down to the Biden supporters observing mask protocol. I mean, I just don't think that there's that much enthusiasm for them. And those voters who may dislike Trump but absolutely cannot vote for Biden, I think are going to factor prominently in a whole lot of votes that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris do not get.
Our guest is Eric Rush. Reading voter behavior, again, political theorist, and greater than 65 or 70% of the time, people vote against someone as opposed to for someone. Although there are people that do show up, Ronald Reagan was one of them, that people actually voted for, as opposed to no one was crazy about Jimmy Carter, but they voted for. And in other cases where people voted for Jimmy Carter because they were really voting against Gerald Ford because Gerald Ford represented Richard Nixon. In this I've watched every debate or both debates. I watched Joe Biden. For the life of me, I can't find where there's, and I like what you said, enthusiasm for Joe Biden. And then yet, .. Is it this extreme hatred that these people manifest for Donald Trump?
Yes. And another thing, I don't think that there are as many voters who really hate Trump's guts as the Democrats or the left would have us believe. I think that the people who dislike him really, really, really dislike him, but I don't know that they represent that much of your likely voters. Whereas, the people who voted for Trump are very passionate. They voted for him in 2016. One of the things I think I mentioned that last time I was on, Trump ran on dismantling the deep state, and everything that we have seen the Washington establishment do to him over the last 4 years has been a result of that. And we're not talking about just Democrats. Now, the voters who voted for him in 2016, they've been seeing all of this. And I got into this yesterday in my column. They've been seeing all of this. And I can't help but, reason that if they think they had a reason to vote for him in 2016, they definitely have a reason to vote for him now, because this deep state has reared its ugly head, showed its fangs, and tried to shred this private citizen who ran for president because he was passionate and had the resources and the popularity and the name recognition to do so. And he started doing these things that neither party had been able to do in decades. And we're talking everything from the economy to foreign policy. And these people freaked out. They, you know, we have to get rid of this guy no matter what. I think even the GOP leadership that supports him
absolutely.
Only does it grudgingly.
Eric Rush is here. I like him a lot. I agree with you. We were talking about the Republican Party state of Colorado, and there's not enough words to describe my distaste. But on the other hand, the National Party, when you see the whole Bush machine is working for Joe Biden, Eric, what does that say? What does that say?
Well, that really says, you know, a lot of the things that people like me and quite honestly our president have been saying for a long time, and that the two-party system is really sort of a
uniparty,
a smoke soldier in a way, because the Washington establishment, its allegiance is to itself. It's to the machine. You know, when somebody gets voted in, unless they have a whole lot of integrity or money, or they don't care about staying in office, they get a seat at the table when they're elected, and they're immediately compromised.
Agreed.
You know, and they start getting on these committees and things like that, and they owe too many people too many things. And that was one of the key attributes of Donald Trump when he got into office, which is why a lot of us really wanted someone with his, business bona fides for a long time, because economically we knew we needed somebody like that to pull us out of the hole. And we also needed somebody who was not beholden to that sort of incestuous Washington establishment machine that really knows no party.
I look at, for instance, the Peace Prize. What Donald Trump did in the Middle East was, in my mind, the equivalent of tearing down the Berlin Wall. I really believe, Eric. I believe that. Thank you for saying, but he's not going to see a Peace Prize. On the other hand, Barack Obama gets one for getting elected.
Yes.
I mean, I look at the Peace Prize as one of those canaries in the mine shaft as well. It shows you what the globalists, what the multinational corporations, the banks. And Donald Trump is running against academia. He's running against Hollywood. He's running against the entertainment industry. He's running against professional sports. He's running against, you know, corporate America. He's running against the multinationals. He's running against a wall. It isn't just that he's running. And that is all represented by Republicans and Democrats alike. That is the swamp. Do you believe that as well?
I absolutely do believe it. I've been saying for a long time that the ruling class, if you will, which includes, you know, a lot of these big tech billionaires and more old money, Democrats, as well as the leadership in Washington, Democrat and Republican. I've been saying for a long time that they've been really wanting to fold us into this sort of European culture of governance. You know, they want us to be one of them. You know, the European republics sold out to socialism a long time ago, and it's our turn to get on board. You know, what people in America don't realize, even though they may be reading the writing on the wall and supporting Donald Trump, is that this is a war to take down America as a republic. And our enemies aren't just the far left Democrats in the United States. They're European oligarchs and the people who run European, countries in Europe and the UN and the whole nine yards.
Do you believe that the Democratic Party is an SWP? It's a borderline Trotskyist workers' party. That's what they've turned into. Eric, do you believe that?
Yes. I definitely do. And I think that for the most part, you know, the GOP has turned into, you know, a sort of, Democrat light.
I agree. I mean, I watch this stuff. I guess this is why I admire your work. Great minds thinking alike. But in the middle of this, if Donald Trump is beaten, and there's a possibility that's going to happen, we do we do become, you know, the what's happened. And it's interesting to watch countries literally on the road running from what. And it, I believe Joe Biden is a sock puppet. You know, Joe Biden, when, you know, Joe Biden gets into the walls of Troy, the horse will open up and Ocasio-Cortez will get out and Elizabeth Warren will get out. Do you believe that? I mean, I truly believe that. Do you believe it?
I definitely do, you know, in as much as, you know, when Barack Obama was president, excuse me, although he was definitely, you know, had more of his marbles and could speak, you know, it was really people like Valerie Jarrett who were running the country. And we're going to see something similar, although it's going to be more of a, you know, more of a committee of these, you know, Warrens and Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez and the rest of them.
Now, Liz, I mean, I think Elizabeth Warren has a seat. She'll have a job in the cabinet. She's run her course, and they'll bring these people, and Buttigieg will come in, and they'll get gigs. And I fear for this, and yet I so worry about Donald Trump winning. I mean, I know that my fear factors on Donald Trump are skyrockets.
I can understand that, and to some extent identify with it because the stakes are so great.
Oh, man.
You know, even if one is fairly confident that he is going to win re-election, you know, the downside of it is just so the gravity is just there. You know, Obama set up the infrastructure for a lot of what is going on now. And it won't take much reconstruction for a Biden administration or whoever's really running the country to just take us the rest of the way to becoming this megalithic socialist state.
Now, here's one to think about. I ponder. The one safety valve in all of this is AM radio, talk radio. And I, honest to God, I believe if these guys get their hands on the throttle, and I'm an old guy, but guys like you who have a future in this business, I know a ton of guys, this business is going to look a lot different in 3 years if they win than it will be if Donald Trump holds the line. That's my final.
Yeah.
Do you believe that as well? Yeah.
I absolutely believe that. And I would, to support that, I would hearken back to the secret White House meetings that Obama had with the big tech guys when he was in office. And now we see what the big tech guys are doing.
Agreed.
That is going to represent the kind of emergent state of censorship that we're going to see unfold over all media.
You watch. Remember when the regime, I tell everybody, when you read the history of Germany, the first people that the Nazis put into camps were newspaper editors and union leaders. They went well before, you know, the so-called Untermenschen, the animal people. They grabbed the newspaper editors first. And that's what that's what these idiots at local television outlets or on a national level, that's, Eric, the history lesson they don't understand, that eventually. And who is behind Ocasio-Cortez? There are people that are behind Ocasio-Cortez that make her, you know, look like a middle of the roader. And
Yes, they do.
And you and I agree. I mean, they get their hands on the throttle. These little local slick-haired guys that do these shows, and I'll be long gone, but they'll come for them.
It's a distinct possibility. Although, as I am quick to remind people that there were people who ran media in the private sector during the Third Reich when the Nazis were in power, who there were media folks who supported the Nazis and actually wound up getting prosecuted
at
the Nuremberg trials.
That's my point. That's my point.
And at least one of them was hung.
Listen, inevitably, I don't care if it's the Bolsheviks or the Nazis or whomever it is, you get your hands on it. The first thing in the third world, and we're past our break, but when you go back and read the 50s and 60s in the wars of national liberation, the first things that were seized were the radio stations.
Yes.
And the first things, Fidel, when they grabbed Cuba, they grabbed the radio stations. Because you
which is what leftists have been doing,
of course,
more so incrementally.
There you go. There you
here
go.
Oh, yeah. Over the last, you know, 40 years.
Yeah. Hey, you're terrific. We'll be talking soon. This young man's name is Eric Rush. He lives in Colorado. By the way, what was your martial art? Your martial art that you studied? I read your bio.
Oh, Taekwondo.
Okay.
I've
right.
been studying Taekwondo for many years.
I read your bio. You're an excellent man. And Eric, how old are you?
I am 59 years old.
Oh, so you're not a kid. I was reading your bio. So this guy's been around knocking around. The door's all.
Yeah. I may not look it, but I've been around for a while.
Both of us. All right. I'll talk to you again. I really enjoy you on the show, Eric. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, likewise. And thank you very much. Have a great day.
All right. Greg Moore's coming on the show. Get some opens. Randy Corcoran's on the show. Joy Overbeck's on the show. Sort of why are you mad, right? This is truly an art to putting together perfect kitchen or bathroom remodel. If you want the best countertops and wholesale pricing, contact Mitch Floria, the Art of Granite. Mitch is an expert and a craftsman. Here's a guy that I talk about. He grew up under the Ceausescus. Got out of Romania, came to the U.S. Granite quartz and marble, other materials, true works of art in your home. You can schedule a virtual consultation with Mitch by calling 303-386-5919. Visit the website, theartofgranite.com. Start dreaming about your new countertops. Mitch provides granite from his own warehouse out in Golden. It's huge. Wholesale prices, they don't mark it up. You can get the most for your budget. Mention 710 KNUS, the morning show. Get a free bathroom countertop, free, with a purchase of your fantastic new kitchen countertops. Get a kitchen or bathroom sink free, the purchase of any countertop package. They really, I mean, the guy's like the good guy. 303-386-5919, 303-386-5919. You can talk to him. He's like, he'll come and see you. Theartofgranite.com, artofgranite.com, artofgranite.com.
To America.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. When radio counts, count on Peter Boyles.
Morning, everybody. It's a Thursday, the 29th of October, 710 KNUS. Don't fear the reaper. This is my tune. 58 today and 61 tomorrow. We'll do a lot of Halloween stuff tomorrow. Greg Moore's coming up. Joy Overbeck's coming up. Randy Corcoran's coming up. A packed house. Mortgage rates are so low, many homeowners are knocking $400 or $500 off their monthly payments or mortgage payments and put the money in the bank, and sometimes more. I did it. I keep coming back. I did it. Or they did it. It was my house. They did it. Our friends at American Financing, give them a call. Mortgage consultants are sure to find the best deals for you. If you kick this today and call them at 303-695-7000 to get it started by, you know, first of the year, because it takes a while to do it. And now you're saving money every month. It is absolutely crazy not to do it. You tighten up the time, you drop the interest number, and a refi doesn't mean you reset your loan to 30 years. I mean, you where you are, you are. And you know what else? They're going to pre-qualify you for free. Don't do an upfront or hidden fees. They only want the best for you. American Financing today, 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000. Apply online, AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate. He ran the Denver Post for years. We're friends. We see each other from time to time socially, and we end up talking for 2 or 3 hours. Please say good morning. Welcome back to the radio show. Greg Moore is with us. Hey, man, thanks for doing this. Good morning, Greg, and welcome back. Can you hear me, Greg? Billy?
Yeah,
there he is. Peter. Hey, man, good morning. Thanks for doing the show, man. Welcome home.
Hey, no issue.
Yeah. You know, yesterday I was thinking about this overview of Colorado, an overview of Denver, and I'm thinking about people that I think we should be hearing and asking why. And you came forward. I said, you know, Greg Moore hasn't been on the show for a long time, ran the Post for years. Everybody hates the Denver Post. it goes without saying. What's happened in Colorado from the time you first came here to this pending election? And there's a headline. Channel 4 did a headline that said this could be, I lost it in my stack of stuff, but Colorado could see biggest blue wave in 83 years. I turn it over to you. Your thoughts.
Listen, you are what your record says you are. That's what Bill Parcells used to tell his football teams. And we are in Colorado what we are in terms of how we run campaigns, what our win-loss record is, what we allow the Democrats to do to us. So if we, you know, talking about this election cycle, if I'm looking at ballot returns, I'm looking at how we spend our money, yeah, we could see a huge blue wave. The only reason I don't think it'll be the biggest blue wave in 83 years is because Ken Buck has actually spent some money doing things like door-to-door canvassing. That should keep the margin closer. But if you are terrible at what it is you do, and the Republican Party is terrible at running and winning elections in the state of Colorado, yeah, you're going to lose. Now, there are some notable exceptions. I think that the Republican bright spots at the state level, you got guys like Patrick Neville, who's fantastic, running for federal office. You have Lauren Boebert over on the Western Slope in CD3. She's going to win, and she's going to be amazing. But if you've got the Denver Post speculating about the biggest Democrat blowout in 83 years, it's probably a little hyperbolic, but it just shows you kind of where we are, because they're not wrong per se. They might be exaggerating what the turnout is going to be and what the results are going to be, but you can't make these numbers lie.
You know, that's you're a gift. I don't know what door-to-dooring by Ken Buck means one way or the other. Whose life is he saving by going door-to-door?
He's trying to help Corey out, but the thing is, let's talk Corey. Like, Corey's not doing himself any favor. So I went to a Tea Party meeting where Corey spoke. This was maybe 7-8 months ago, maybe a little bit more. I was sitting in the back. Tom Tancredo and I were sitting in the back, kind of like the two delinquent students in the class, and we were talking to one another. And then I stood up and I asked him, I was like, listen, when are you going to start opening offices? When are you going to start hiring field staff? Because let's be clear. Jared Polis won, like he destroyed Walker Stapleton by 12 percentage points, give or take, but absolutely destroyed him. And every other Democrat running for office that year rode to victory on his coattails. And it's not because Jared Polis wears really, you know, awesome sneakers every day. It's because he was part of the Gang of Four. He was part of the original group that flipped this state blue. So he knew what he was doing. Now, Corey doesn't really. And he's been stockpiling money. I'm looking at his October quarterly report. He spent, you know, a total of about $12 million. Of that, about $10 million went to media. And of that media, yeah, you can call it $8.7 million went to television. I didn't force him to do that. You didn't force him to do that. Political scientists will tell you that that is the least effective yet most expensive way to campaign. So congratulations. You chose to spend your money that way. Again, nothing I can do. I went, I tried to, you know, ask the question, make a convincing case for field staff, offices. He gave one of the best political answers I've heard in a while. I mean, the man's talented politically, but it was a complete, you know, put off, as in he didn't want to answer my question, never was really intending to build the ground game that I felt was necessary. But, you know, he wanted to make me feel good about it, so he did a great job there. But the thing is, at the end of the day, I still voted for him. But the problem is, Democrats are outpacing Republicans in ballot returns right now by about 175,000 votes. And that's only getting worse. So what is his campaign doing? He's going to be a lobbyist on K Street because he wouldn't freaking listen. And, you know, I've been saying this, Chuck and Julie, you, lots of people have been saying the Republican Party in the state of Colorado is broken. We lose elections here not because we are a fundamentally blue state, but because the R side is incompetent by and large. and the proof is in the pudding. Like, your record, you know, your record defines who you are, right? And these numbers define who we are.
If, by the way, I'm doing a misnomer. This is George, by the way. This is a guy, said Greg Moore, and I'm doing my, this is my miscue, not George's. I watched this stuff, and we've been over it. You and I talked about it. McAlpin, we've talked about it. The absolute worst commercials humanly possible were run by this campaign. We talked about the Walker Stapleton campaign. We talked about Mike Kaufman's campaign. What does the Republican Party, there's people like you and Mike and, you know, and Randy, and they're out there. George, what the hell are they thinking?
Hey, I don't know what they're thinking. Obviously, they're not thinking about winning. Obviously, they haven't read a freaking book written by a political scientist ever. But I do have a little bit of hope for the future, because if Corey loses, that means we'll have no...
If?
No, I was trying to be kind. So when he loses, Lauren Boebert is essentially going to be in charge of the Republican Party in the state of Colorado.
Agreed.
So everybody wanted to talk all that trash. She's going to be in charge. She's going to be in federal office. She's going to be the bright, shining light in Colorado. And you know what her secret to success is? I want all the Republican consultants to whip out a pad and pen and write this down. She works really, really hard talking to voters. I want every Republican consultant to make sure they wrote that down, because that's the secret to victory. That's how she beat an incumbent Republican. That's how she's beating Banamich Bush.
It's 7:36, 24 before the hour. Who wrote those? You and I talked about this. Who wrote those Cory Gardner commercials? Who thinks those were good ideas? We've had a list of things that could have been really hardcore, well put together attacks on John Hickenlooper. I mean, getting beaten by John Hickenlooper, I mean, it's like, it isn't like you got beat by Jack Kennedy or, you know, some.
No.
Yeah.
He's got the B team running his campaign. Like, let's be clear. Jared Polis has the A team. Hicks got the B team. And Corey and all his supporters, and by supporters, I mean supporting committees, you know, PACs, all these other political entities, they've been running commercials for, I don't know, about the last year. I mean, those commercials have my 8-year-old boys absolutely convinced that Hickenlooper's a bad guy, because they play before the little YouTube shows where they watch someone play Minecraft. Mm-hmm. So great job at targeting those commercials at voters. But, yeah, my 8-year-olds are completely convinced. But the issue is, if you're not willing to go out and talk to voters, if you're not willing to do the hard work, you try and make your opponent seem less good, and that's what they're doing. They put all their chips onto a terrible hand.
But this is a stair step. We've been over this. We talked about Walker Stapleton. When Masterpiece Bakery came on the screen, and it's one of the first times you and I met, and they wouldn't come near him. Hickenlooper, there's an ad that you could run. It was Hickenlooper's Civil Rights Commission that Hickenlooper was handed the list as governor. These are my civil rights commissioners I want. Hickenlooper did that. They attempted to destroy and came very close to destroying Jack's life. And where's the ad? We've been over this. Here's my question for you. When it came time for that final debate that was run by Channel 9, knowing that the kinds of things on the internet that Kyle Clark has put there, knowing the role they played in the murder of Tex Keltner, would you have told your candidate, Cory Gardner, to go to that debate?
Well, I probably would have, but that's only because he's got no actual exposure to voters.
Well,
it's...
You could have gotten it.
I mean,
you could have gotten it by saying, no, I'm not going to be around these people because of what they're involved in. I will be willing to do a debate with Mike Rosen. I'll be willing to do a debate with Dominic, whomever it is. But he could have gotten all. I mean, I would have looked at him and said, man, that was good. Did you hear him speak against the rioting that took place in downtown Denver? Because I didn't hear him do that.
I mean, by the time that debate came around, he was already gone.
Okay, all right.
He's He needed to start doing things at least a year ago. The Republican Party needed to start
two years ago. George, let me ask you this, because I'm close to a pause and need to do a market update. When Donald Trump came to the Air Force Academy for graduation, why did no Republicans come and want to hang around with them, have their picture taken? Answer me that. When we come back, we'll come back. 710 KNUS, groundbreaking advanced FUE treatment from advanced hair restoration, finally here in Denver. If you got a receding hairline, a bald spot, or thinning hair, Dr. Paul, Travis and I went down there, and I think, well, it's one of these handshake. How do you do? I know we were in there a couple, 3 hours talking. The surgeon is Dr. Tanya Pauls. Her right hand is Farah. And there's these great women, and the whole clinic's run by women. So, I don't know, there's a nice part of that. And the state-of-the-art technology, the best of the best. The advanced FUE treatment takes about 1 day. Actually, it doesn't take about 1 day. It takes 1 day. It's pain-free. Your new hair starts growing the very next day. This is breakthrough stuff, 100% guaranteed. Advanced hair, you always receive the highest standard of care, well beyond CDC guidelines. Celebrating Advanced Hair's grand opening in Denver. Special deal right now, $250 off, 250 free hair grafts. Now, call them. It's very private, very confidential, and they're just great folks and very smart. 720-45, easy number, 720-459-HAIR, 720-459-HAIR. One-day treatment, hair-changing results. Your new hair is 100% guaranteed to grow, 720-459-HAIR, or visit advancedhair.com. One-day treatment, life-changing. And they're very special. They're very private. They're very confidential. Don't worry. 720-459-HAIR. Just make the call and ask your questions.
Listen live at radio.com. This is the Peter Boyle Show.
Morning, everybody. 747, 13 before the hour of 8 o'clock. Randy Corbin in the next hour. Also, Joy Overbeck. 710 KNUS Denver's Talk Station.
You know.
Market update time. And here's Amy. Good morning.
Morning, Pete. Another rough day on Wall Street to start our Thursday morning. So currently, we've got the Dow off 173, the S&P is off 5. NASDAQ, though, is positive. I'll hit on technology in just a minute. Quick recap of yesterday, all three major indices down over 3% in 1 day. The Dow fell 940 points and is off negative 6.4% for the week. Meanwhile, on the flip side, this is a crazy number, U.S. GDP for the third quarter grew by 33.1%. That's the biggest gain ever, and of course is kind of a yin and a yang situation to how bad the GDP was, obviously, in Q2 after the COVID-19 lockdown. So today, after the bell, watch out for technology. Tomorrow, we've got Amazon, Facebook, Twitter, and Apple all reporting their earnings. Long story short, you know, these turbulent markets are never pleasant. When it's this violent, the market is clearly spooked by something with all the uncertainty, Pete. I think the moral of the story is if you have a plan and if you're diversified, if you feel ready for it, it's a very different feeling than if you feel completely blindsided. So we're trying to work with our clients, making sure people are ready, prepared, get through it day by day. And if you have questions, just give us a call.
303-843-0918. Again, market is watching, 303-843-0918. You need a guide, you're there. Investing is a matter of trust. Those folks are there, Alpine Group, 303-843-0918. We'll do it again tomorrow, Amy. Thanks.
Have a good one, Pete.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
All right, 58 to high 61 on Friday. I thought we had pointed up on Greg Moore. It's my fault. It's, of course, who we really wanted as well was George Anthosopoulos. He's with us. Greg will be with us later. I set up a question before we broke, and your thoughts.
It's because we're stupid. Listen, here's the thing. You're going to see this November.
Yes.
If I was a betting man, Donald Trump's going to win nationally. Why is that? Because that's what the numbers say. And in addition to it, all those fancy terms that political scientists talk about, social desirability bias, the Bradley effect, the hidden Trump voter, not only are all those things real, but you're going to see larger than anticipated turnout for Trump from black and brown communities nationwide. Trump is doing exactly what Lauren Boebert is doing over on the Western Slope, what every Republican in the state of Colorado should be doing, which is outworking their opponents. And we are not. And the fact that we – because here's the thing. This cake is cooked. 2020 in the state of Colorado, it's cooked. Like, the current candidates should be working until the very last moment, getting every ballot they should. But let's be honest. If we wanted to plan a winning strategy for Colorado, we should have started 2 years ago. If you want to ask me what's important today, yeah, making sure over the next, you know, how many days it is till election, what is it?
Five.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, work hard. Do everything you can. Put everybody, try and make up 170,000 or 75,000 ballots, you know, to catch up to the Democrats.
But George, I agree with you about Lauren. I fear for Lauren, but she will be the power. She is the grassroots gun-toting. You know, she is who you want. There's a new sheriff in town situation. But these old people, from Walker Stapleton to Cory Gardner to the Beaupres, to one person after another who's just trashed the party. And I think when I thought that the worst campaign I'd ever seen run was Walker Stapleton's until I just watched Cory Gardner's. Now, how do you push these guys out of the way? And I use the Phoenix Bird, where there's guys like you and guys like Neville and these guys and McAlpin and everybody. And out of the ashes comes the more beautiful bird. How's that happen?
Well, it happens when they no longer have a money train coming in. They've got no campaigns. They've got no candidates to make a living off of. They will starve to death for lack of income. And that's what Cory's been the one thing keeping the old Republican Party in business. His campaign has paid to keep the old, you know, the Owens Republicans and the Stapleton Republicans, keep them around because it was hope in his reelection. Now, as I said, 2020 is baked. What people need to start thinking about is 2022. And yes, it's not too early to start thinking about 2022, especially if you're planning on running for governor or attorney general or secretary of state.
They're out there. But so many people, and you and I share a great friendship with Tommy T. They beat Tom. The Democrats didn't beat Tom Tancredo. The Republicans beat Tom Tancredo. Do you believe that?
Yeah, but
that's the truth.
They also beat themselves now.
That's my point. And now, you know, it's really funny. Somebody sent me an email this morning. Billy and I were chucking because they said Colorado is a battleground state. Where? Where is Colorado a battleground state?
You are what your record says you are. And I'm looking at numbers. I'm looking at ballot returns. I'm looking at how Republican campaigns have spent their money. And that tells me we're done in Colorado. Maybe I'll be surprised, but the contrast between Trump winning nationally and Cory losing locally is going to cause an earthquake, I think, here in Colorado that was entirely predictable and completely avoidable.
Well, totally avoidable. Had they done, quote, the right thing, I brought up what was done to Jack Phillips. I brought up, you know, all these different things that have happened. And again, I didn't hear Cory speak about the rioting downtown. I didn't hear Cory speak about the murder of... He could have walked away, George. He really could have. It's a great sadness. I love you. You make the show work. I'll talk to you this afternoon. We got Joy coming up and Randy coming up. You take care of yourself, my boy. I'll talk to you this afternoon. Thanks, George.
Thanks. See you later.
All right, everybody. Apologies to Greg Moore. Coming back on the other side, Joy Overbeck out of the box. Randy Corcoran and the arrogance of the Democratic media machine, which I really love the piece that he did. Hang on your hats. This is not a battleground state. And then whose fault is it? It's going to be one of those days. Tomorrow, take a run at Halloween. 61 will be the high. Tomorrow, stay here. It's a Thursday. Bill Thorpe, Peter Boyle, 710 KNUS.